Feeling as a spiritual practice, feeling as a language. Right before I decided to get off of Instagram, I made this reel and I opened the reel by saying that I'm convinced that the true human pandemic is the fear of feeling. And conversations around feeling and deeply feeling and how that serves us in life has been coming up quite a bit in my personal life over the last couple of months. And so, of course, I wanted to talk about this more on the podcast. So stay tuned. I'm going to share a different perspective about feeling. I'm going to share some excerpts from a book that I've read and just call you to open up to a new way of seeing your relationship with feeling. All right, so that's what we're going to get into today on the episode. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Full Ass Human Podcast, your landing place to reestablish a relationship with your humanness. I'm your host, Mel the Oracle, and since 2015, I've built a platform and community centering the human experience and re-spiritualizing the journey of humanness. And so with this podcast, I bring all of that rich experience from the last 7 years, mixed with my personal journey and story, to give you wisdoms and tools and new perspectives and essential lessons that support you in humaning better. Let's get into the episode. Hello, welcome to this week's episode. Before I get into the meat, you know, I have to share that this week's episode is brought to you by my Spotify playlist, Reviving the Felt Sense, a long walk vibe. And similar to almost all of my playlists, it's a chill, moody playlist that just puts you in a place of being open to feeling and just getting lost in that. So tap on the link in the show notes if you want to listen to that playlist. Definitely listen to that playlist. The second thing that I want to share is that Buzzsprout, this is the hosting platform that I use. I love Buzzsprout so much. Like, if I could insert an ad about Buzzsprout, I would do that because I love it as a hosting platform so much. And they just introduced this new feature called subscriptions, very similar to Patreon, where you choose an amount that you want to pledge to support the show, to support the podcast, and then you support the show monthly. But instead of creators who use Buzzsprout having to go over to Patreon, they've integrated that support option right into the Buzzsprout platform, which is so genius. So if you decide that if you listen to the show, you love it, you appreciate it, it's valuable to your daily life, then you can go ahead and you can make a pledge to support the show monthly for as little as $3 a month, and or you can choose up from there. But please know that when you support this show, right, like when you give the exchange of money, know that it's going directly to me being able to sustain producing this show, because it's just me doing it. There's no team, it's me. So when you support, that's what you're supporting, that's what you're investing in. So there's also going to be a link for that in the show notes as well. And honestly, to the couple of people who have already subscribed or chosen to support the show, thank you so much. Jordan and Teresa, your support is so invaluable and it's so deeply appreciated. So thank you so, so much. I had to call y'all by name. All right. And thank you to anyone in advance who plans to support me after hearing this message. And then the last thing that I want to say is that the Full Ass Human Inner Circle community will be live and active, of course, on the spring equinox on March 20th, which is a Monday. And so I will be talking more about that probably at the beginning of each episode. So just get ready, you know, for that. And also prepare yourself to join the community once it opens up. This I'm just excited because this is the community that I've been creating for some time. I've tried a few different things over the course of starting the podcast, but this feels most aligned. And this is a container for us to have a home, to share, to learn, to unlearn, to relearn, to reflect, to process, to commune, to be in human community, to practice human care with each other. All right. So just, prepare to be sick of me talking about that, but also keep an eye out for it when it opens in the spring. All right. So now into the meat of this episode. In this episode, I'm really going to be sharing a different and maybe more unique, maybe it's not unique to you, but maybe a more unique perspective. And it's not about feeling, and it's not going to center focusing on feeling as right, like the way to develop emotional intelligence or for improving your mental health or for healing trauma. That's just not the focus of this episode. And there are so many different leaders and people with expertise and, people on Instagram or whatever talking about the importance of feeling from that perspective. And it is deeply valuable, but it's just not the space that I'm coming from today. This episode focuses on feeling as a necessity for feeling alive, for igniting sensuality, eroticism, for deepening your connection to and your return to your body, and for infusing soul and spirit into your life and paying nourishing reverence to your human experience. Feeling, sensing, and experiencing are the foundations of being human. And when I say that, you may make a face, like you might make your face up, like, girl, what the hell is you talking about? But those truly are the foundations. They are simple, but we've piled on so many other obligations and external implications about what it means to be human, what you have to do to survive and sustain being a person in this world. And we've done all of that and piled all that on in a way that the simple foundations get buried and become seemingly non-valuable and forgotten. Something as simple as being conditioned and socialized to believe that you have to work and labor to live. It, like, just think about that. So, of course, feeling, sensing, and experiencing seem like a waste of time and energy and attention. But this episode, or really this entire podcast, is for the soul who is devoted to making way for return to the simple, who refuses to devalue, ignore, and live disconnected from feeling, sensing, and experiencing. Because you know how it enriches your life. You know it is your duty and responsibility to yourself, to your human community, to never forget, never naysay, or to shoo off the threads of your humanness that keep you present and connected to the spiritual. Feeling, sensing, experiencing. So, why would I call feeling a spiritual practice? Feeling is an innate part of humanness, and the human experience is spiritual. There is no part or a corner or crevice of the human experience that isn't touched by the spiritual. And in addition to that, let's just define what a spiritual practice is, right? So essentially, it's an action or a series of actions or activities that connect you to soul, that keep you connected to the intangible world and to something greater than you, but also a part of you. It keeps you present. It keeps you steeped in intention, and it evokes connection to this life. Is that not what feeling and feeling deeply does? I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. So honestly, so many people, and you might be one of these people, you might be included in these people that I'm talking about, but they've crafted and created whole entire lives centered around avoidance of feeling, whether it be avoiding emotional pain or running from grief or fearing love or simply choosing autopilot over aliveness. And so running away from and numbing and detaching from and suppressing the practice of feeling something so deeply innate to your very existence has become normal and commonplace. And yes, a lot of this is due to the way that we've processed or haven't processed our past experiences, but it's primarily due to the system we've been socialized and conditioned under that shows and tells us that feeling, sensing, and experiencing aren't really valuable. That in comparison to doing and being busy and being in power and laboring for a living, feeling is a complete waste of time. If it's not profitable, if it's not consumable, if it's not helping you achieve, does it really make sense to prioritize? Right? Like that's really... those are really like the subconscious questions that we are led to ask ourselves, even when we don't consciously know that that's what we're asking ourselves, because of the way that we've been conditioned and socialized to look at feeling versus achieving versus succeeding versus consuming versus being hungry and greedy for power versus doing, you know? We're even taught to normalize meeting feeling with an external quote-unquote remedy. Anytime that a feeling comes up, we have to dull it down or protect ourselves from feeling it by doing something else that keeps us from feeling it. And you might think what I'm going to say next is a reach, but I don't. People have internalized that feeling will kill them, that they couldn't possibly bear feeling an emotion, a sensation response in their body. Like they genuinely believe that they can't survive it. So with all of this conditioning swirling our bodies and our nervous systems, it makes complete sense that the aversion to and the fear of feeling is so deep-seated. It makes sense that in this time, this is the silent human pandemic. Fuck a virus. Okay, this is the virus. So just take a breath to just sit with what I've said so far. I like to think of feeling in three ways. One, as a verb, it's very much a process of being with emotion. Two, as a noun, as a felt sense, as a sensation that arises in your body when you're just experiencing, that arises by simply living and relating and absorbing and observing and just being present with life. And then 3, as a language. Feeling deeply is a language, okay? It's a way of processing and communicating with your environment, with this world. Like, have you ever heard someone say, I need to feel into that, or I need to feel into this? That's a way of communicating and receiving information, all right? Feeling, sensing, experiencing are languages of the body, are languages of sensuality. It intensifies and heightens everything. That is the sensual. To be deeply engaged with life, to deeply feel into your experience, that is aliveness. That is the spirit of sensuality. And if you know me, you know that that is my first language. It is my primary way of communicating with the world. And that's why this is a perspective that I want to share with you today, because it's the perspective that I live. I couldn't function any other way without seeing feeling as a verb and a noun and a language, without seeing feeling as the language of sensuality. And it's what gives life color and texture, right? It's what opens us up to the erotic. The erotic. I'm gonna come back to that in a moment, but did y'all hear how my voice changed up when I said that shit? Yeah. But I'm gonna come back to that in a second. But moving back to sensuality for just a second, so many people want to live more aligned with sensuality, but haven't adopted a practice of feeling. And our society has perpetually misconstrued the sensual as something you perform, as something you show and tell, when really it's the building block and foundation of just being present with life, of centering, feeling, sensing, and experiencing. So when you deliberately cut yourself off from that, you refuse the full expression of your sensuality, of experiencing aliveness beyond the autopilot vital signs that confirm that you are alive, right? A heartbeat, a pulse, the automatic process of your breath. I'm not saying that those things aren't significant. They obviously are. But you don't do anything to manifest those autopilot processes of aliveness. How are you melting into aliveness? How are you meeting aliveness? How are you embodying aliveness beyond the autopilot? If you aren't prioritizing deep feeling, sensing, and experiencing, how are you embodying, meeting, and melting into aliveness beyond the autopilot? So, a few thoughts back, I mentioned the erotic, and in this moment, and truly in any moment that that word is spoken, I have to pay homage to Audre Lorde. Audre Lorde, she gave us new language to redefine the erotic as a practice of and devotion to feeling deeply and fully, which for most of you listening really may be a new way of seeing the erotic. And in her essay, which is one of her favorite pieces of work of mine, Wait, which is one of my favorite pieces of her work. Her essay, Uses of the Erotic as Power. In that essay, Audre Lorde, what's the word? She poetically articulates the erotic as a deeply spiritual resource and really the life force of women specifically, but she also paints a picture of how the erotic benefits all of us, no matter how we identify, as a deeply sensual, psychic, spiritual resource rooted in feeling fully. And I'm just going to read you like a little part of the essay, because her words are very piercing. So she says, "For the erotic is not a question only of what we do. It's a question of how acutely and fully we can feel in the doing. Another important way in which the erotic connection functions is the open and fearless underlying of my capacity for joy, in the way my body stretches to music and opens into response, hearkening to its deepest rhythms, so every level upon which I sense also opens to the erotically satisfying experience, whether it's dancing, building a bookcase, writing a poem, examining an idea. That self-connection shared is a measure of the joy which I know myself to be capable of, a reminder of my capacity for feeling." And then at the end of this, she later says in the passage that the need for sharing deep feeling is a human need. And what have I been saying? Feeling is spiritual because feeling is human. This is how we connect, all right, to ourselves, to our environment, to our world, and to other people through feeling. This comes before speaking, before language, as we know language, right? And I just, you know, just take a moment to be with her words. I love this full essay, but especially the passage that I read so much, because she calls us to think about fully and deeply feeling and how we infuse that into the threads of our everyday lives. How do we infuse the erotic, which is the practice of deeply feeling, into everything that we do, into everything that we're being? That's what she calls us to ponder, and that's why I love this essay so much, and I wanted to share that because it's such a deep addition to the conversation that I'm having with you today about feeling as a spiritual practice. Just taking a moment with those words is always necessary. And you know, as I'm thinking, this brought me back to when I was serving as an embodiment guide and a mentor for women, and when I was helping them to reimagine womanhood and return to their bodies and to reconnect to soulful sensuality and erotic expression. And I used to speak about erotic expression in a very similar way. And this was even before reading this essay, but I used to speak about feeling, sensing, and experiencing as the optimal way to process life, and that they were the foundations of eroticism. That erotic expression is the sensual in motion, and specifically in the context of movement, erotic expression rises up and it comes forth in the intentional way that you undulate your back or the exaggerated way that you move your hips to feel it deeper, or how you let your head fall back in surrender when you get lost in your movement, or how your eyes roll closed when your movement feels good. It's in the feeling and the feeling fully. I'm telling y'all, it just gives life so much soul. It gives life so much soul. And when you refuse to invite deep feeling in, you really do cut yourself off from a full, alive connection with yourself and those that you love. And I know that if you're here, that's something that you deeply want to experience. So again, this is an opening to a new perspective for you. And remember, feeling is spiritual because feeling is human. Let the medicine of feeling become unstuck in the crevices of your body. When you don't, you don't even give your body an opening to become familiar with feeling. You know what? And because movement and the body are my life, I of course have another movement based nugget of wisdom. But I recently subscribed to this woman. Her name is Ariana Elizabeth. Yeah, I believe Ariana Elizabeth on YouTube. And I have been moving through her 30-day exhale to splits challenge that she did like last month sometime. And I really just am engaging with it. One, because being guided by movement, being guided in movement feels really good to me right now. I talked about that in my last episode. But also just to be engaged in being guided in deep, really deep, deep, deep stretching. And so we were in a deep low lunge. And she had guided us to pick up our back leg for a deep quad stretch. And as we were in the stretch, she said, notice how you may stop feeling as much intensity of sensation the longer that you hold this stretch. And if you want to go deeper, just give yourself some time in it. And she said, remember that a lot of times it takes a few breaths and some time to realize your body has relaxed into a sensation. And so now you might be able to go deeper. And I loved that part of what she said, because when I too was teaching movement, it was always about allowing the exhale to take you deeper, making space in your body to soften and to feel into the stretch or into the pose more. Y'all, like, breath and feeling are life partners, right? Like, both are deeply important to learn. But to finish what she was saying, the last part of this that I love is she said, give your body just a little time to explore what it's feeling and to know that it's safe. And she said, sometimes the body panics when it's experiencing something new or going past a previous limit. And that's actually why you feel so much sensation. But when you stay for a while, when you stay for a while, your body gets the signal that it's okay to regulate. And it's granted permission to go deeper. And that's where flexibility really becomes a reality. And I thought this was such a beautiful parallel, because when she said your body often panics when it's experiencing something new, when it's going past a previous limit. So you have to give it a chance to feel that it's okay that everything is fine, that it's safe, that it can experience more, that it can go deeper, that it will survive, that you can bear it. This is a beautiful parallel where she was talking about movement, but I'm talking about feeling, and the sentiment and the point pierces the same, right? So are you allowing time for your body, for yourself, for your internal systems to relax into feeling, to get familiar with sensation? Next time that you're feeling a difficult emotion or a sensation in your body in response to something, and your instinct is to roll a blunt or to pour a drink or to pop a pill or to engage in sex or to numb it in some way or to push it away somehow, I want you to pull back. What if you used your breath this time? What if you indulged in curiosity about the feeling or the sensation or the emotion this time? What if you give your body a chance to feel the peak of the sensation, of the emotional wave, and let it find its safety this time? What if you were just still this time? What if you just showed yourself that you will survive feeling? And not only will you survive, but you will begin to feel so much more alive because you've allowed yourself to experience what is innately human. Feeling, sensing, experiencing. Give yourself a chance to step into the colorful and textured side of life, okay? It's dope here. I promise you. It's dope. And you know another thing that I want to tell you? Stop holding in your motherfucking tears. I made this post years ago where I said, holding in your tears is an actual act of violence towards yourself. And if you're listening to this and this is something that you do, because I know that you are listening, I want you to just close your eyes really quickly and just affirm, I release the desire to hold in, to hold on, to hold back. And I grant myself permission to break down to open space for my breakthrough. Yeah. Feeling is a spiritual practice. Feeling is spiritual because feeling is human. Okay, I think that I have said enough about this, but I do want to quickly just switch direction really quickly. And this is how I want to kind of close this episode, because I know that you are also listening too. And by you, I mean my kindred, sensitive, deeply feeling soul. If this is also the way that you move through the world, if deep feeling is the language that you already speak, I want you to know that I feel you deeply. I know what it feels like to be so deeply present with life that deeply feeling becomes inevitable. I literally know how intense it can feel when relating to other humans, when your primary way of communicating is feeling. I know how disheartening it can feel to live in a society that constantly naysays your clairsentience. And I know that it sometimes feels like a burden to feel so deeply. Picking up on subtle shifts in energy in a space when no one else ever takes notice of what you've taken notice of. To try to use words to explain what you're processing or what you're feeling, to explain what you process by feeling. I know how often it feels frustrating to be a deeply feeling person and to have to navigate this world constantly relating to other humans who don't value feeling, who don't see your primary language as valid, who choose not to speak the language of feeling, who have an aversion to feeling. Being told that you're too sensitive, you're too deep, you're too extra, you're crazy. And I just want to say to you, please continue to feel on anyway. It's your human right and duty, really, to feel and to feel fully and deeply. And it's okay. And I have just a couple of loving reminders for you. First, trust the information that you get through your deep feeling, all right? Continue to trust that. Don't let anyone tell you that you're tripping, that you're crazy, that you're reading too much into some shit. Stay connected to your body. Ladies, stay connected to your pussy to support you in strengthening your discernment with what you feel, with what comes through. Remember to clear your energy often, probably much more than you think is enough. Remember to cry often. When it gets overwhelming, it's a form of clearing and letting the heaviness move. And also, you're not always going to be able to name what you feel, and it's okay. I really pray that you have people around you who understand you and who see and know who you are and do not try to belittle you for it when you feel what you can't quite explain. And the last thing I want to say to you is remember to take your time alone. It's okay that you might need more time alone than the average person, but you're absorbing so much and you need space and time to recharge, to refuel, to refill, to refill, to wring yourself out. Take a deep breath. I think this transmission is complete. More than anything, this episode was really just an invitation for you to feel more, yes, and to open you up to a perspective beyond the ways that the importance of feeling are usually discussed or is usually discussed. This perspective is definitely from my lens, which is a very sensual, erotic, centered lens. Seeing feeling as a way to color and enrich your life and support you in feeling more alive may be a new way, but it's a way nonetheless. And I know that you want to feel more alive and to feel your life in color right now, and your portal, your opening, your doorway to that is within this new perspective. To begin letting feeling as a new language be a new way that you learn to speak. And so take this new perspective with you, put it in your pocket for a while, date it for a little while, as my friend Joy would say, and just try it on and see how it feels, right? Just let it sink in a little bit. As always, I am so deeply curious to hear your insights, your feels, your reflections about what I've said today. So absolutely feel free to send me an email or a voice note, which you can do in the show notes. And just remember, as always, to take care of yourself, drink water, get rest, and allow yourself to receive and, of course, feel. And until next time, we will talk in the next episode.
Hey, I know you're still processing another potent episode of the Full Ass Human podcast, but before you go, I want to invite you to come hang out with me on my show, Multi-Passionate Mastery. If you're someone who has a lot of talents and a lot of passions, and you don't subscribe to the idea that you have to choose just one thing in order to be successful, then you're going to love the conversations that we're having over there. And I'm not inviting you to listen to my show just so I can pump you up with empowerment content. You're going to leave with tangible tips and holistic approaches to common problems that multi-passionates face, like focus, prioritization, knowing how to choose what to start with first, and that type of thing. If you're not sure if the podcast is for you, you can start with the episode titled, Are You a Multi-Passionate Creative? Here's 5 Ways to Tell. That's episode 38. So click the link down in the show notes or find Multi-Passionate Mastery anywhere you listen to podcasts. Hope to see you over there soon.